This is Epic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
And we have with us right now, well, you know him, you love him. Every day at 12:30 on ABC, you watch Poor Charles, and Dr. Kevin Collins, the intelligent, charming, lovable guy, is here with us right now in the form of John Lindstrom. Hi, John.
How you doing?
How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. How are you today?
It's good. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you.
A lot of weird things happen. You know, Poor Charles, like any soap, has some incredible stuff going on. And right now there's this big deal with this little girl, Christina.
Poor baby Christina. We refer to her as the baby Christina.
Yeah, she's getting a little bit of a shock, and of course, a couple families affected by all that's going on in there.
Yeah, I guess you could probably say it's inspired by, you know, Elian Gonzalez and whatnot.
I assume that, these child custody things always tug at your heart, though, you know?
Yeah, ugly situation. I just hope I'm never in one.
Well, if you stay in the soap, you'll probably be one eventually.
Eventually, yeah. Yeah, I got to get married first, though.
Not necessarily. Now, how long have you been with Poor Charles?
I've been with Poor Charles since the beginning, which is just coming up to 3 years now.
Wow.
And before that, I was with General Hospital for 5 years. It was actually General Hospital that came to us, being myself and Lynn Herring, who plays Lucy Coe, and asked if we would be interested in anchoring a new spinoff show.
And actually, you're playing the same character, right?
Played the same character, yeah. Yeah. So we basically, they basically came to us and said, how would you like to have your own show? We said, well, okay. Sure, why not?
Now, how much input do you have into the character?
Well, as far as just the character and how to play him, 100%. As far as writing the stories and whatnot, no. Basically none. I mean, I can give suggestions or come in with storyline ideas, but when it comes to the writer's job, I leave it to the writers.
But you've never said to a writer, you know, I don't think Kevin would respond like that to this situation.
Well, I won't say it to the writer because I hardly ever see the writers. They're usually locked in a room someplace writing. But I'll often take a line and just say, you know, this really isn't quite right, and just tweak it. The main thing is not to lose the thought or the intention of the line, but if you can change it in a way that sounds more like the character, then you should go right ahead and do it.
I understand that you worked your way through acting schools, bartending, and your first job in acting was actually playing a bartender, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was on an ABC show, as a matter of fact, called Call to Glory. And I worked at Morton's Restaurant in Beverly Hills, which was a pretty hot industry spot for executives and studio chiefs to make their deals, and a lot of producers to try and sell their films. Well, one of the guys who would come in every night, because his office was right next door to the restaurant, was a fellow named Steve Tisch. And he was producing the show Call to Glory, which starred Craig T. Nelson, if I recall. Mm. He was producing the show for ABC, and he would come in every night after a long day of producing and sit down and order up a margarita. And we got to be friends, and next thing I knew, he was asking me to come in and read for his show, and the next thing I knew after that, I was playing Frank the bartender on Call to Glory. And what's the first thing I had to make was a margarita.
There you go. So
yeah.
It all comes
Steve,
back, doesn't it?
Steve has gone on to win an Oscar for producing Forrest Gump now, so he's doing very well.
But you've also done quite a bit of music and also feature films. I want to know a little bit about the music. I guess you were a drummer when you grew up. Were you idolizing any particular drummers?
Oh, God, yeah, a bunch of them. Ginger Baker. Gene Krupa, to me, was actually the greatest drummer that ever lived.
Really?
Buddy Rich, Jack Dejanet.
I was
Years, I was a big fan of English heavy metal bands, and I thought the John Bonhams and Ian Paice of Deep Purple, I thought they were really magnificent, powerful, strong drummers.
Yeah, it's funny, when I was growing up, Ginger Baker, of course, was one of the
Oh, God, he's great.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites, and later on in life I got to interview him, and he gave me a couple of drumsticks. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, one of my best friends, actually one of my favorite bands growing up, was Jethro Tull. And now, one of my best friends is Don Perry, who's been the drummer for Jethro Tull for the last 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Just got an email from him last night. I think he was in Croatia.
wouldn't that be a kind of a fantasy if you could sit in with them one day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I hear all the stories anyway, but I'd love to watch them rehearse.
And I understand that someone told me that you actually have a CD out.
We do, or at least we did. The name of our band at the time, the band no longer exists, but we were called The High Lonesome, and the CD was called Feel Free to Do So. I think if you search the internet or call some of the record chains, you might be able to find a copy.
What label put it out?
A small label in Los Angeles called Spark Records, which unfortunately had to fold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a good experience all the way, you know. I wanted to be able to record an album, and I did.
You've also done quite a few feature films, I understand, and work with people like Andrew Stevens and Morgan Fairchild and Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy working in features as much as TV?
I do. I enjoy it a lot, but it often depends on the production and how much money they have. The nice thing about daytime television is that I'm a guy who gets bored pretty easily, and I don't like sitting in a trailer all day. In daytime TV, you can come out and pretty much do all of your work in one big long shot, and then you're done, and you stay completely involved the whole time. But doing a feature film, you often aren't involved until you're on the set. Once you're there, then it's great, and you have all the time in the world to get it right, and you have numerous takes and different angles and et cetera, et cetera. The only part I can't stand is just the waiting around.
Mm.
That's why I bought a laptop computer.
There you go. Now, your wife is an actress, too, I understand?
She is. Her name is Eileen Davidson. She plays Ashley on The Young and the Restless.
Ah, a couple of dueling soaps, huh?
Dueling soaps, yes.
Have you ever decided or maybe made a guest appearance in each other's show or something? Or?
No, actually, we have contracts that prohibit that. but we would love to do something together
kind of
sometime,
cool,
in a movie of the week or a feature or something, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that you mentioned it earlier a little bit about traveling. You like traveling, scuba diving, skiing.
Love to travel.
Yeah.
We love to travel. In fact, today, right now, my wife is in London. She had a bunch of frequent flyer miles that had to be used, and I couldn't go. So I said, hey, man, you bought them. Use them.
Yeah, my wife and I went to the Cayman Islands. There's got to be the best snorkeling in the country, in the world.
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, we went to Belize for that, and some of the best diving anywhere.
That's incredible. Also, you're into martial arts, I understand.
Yes, I am. Kung Fu, Sansu.
My son is a blue belt in Kung Fu.
Really?
He's 8 years old. And he told me when he gets his black belt, Dad, he said, I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah, he probably will, too.
Yeah, that's great. It's something to look forward to, sending him to school for
that.
There you go,
yeah.
Yeah, what are you, a black belt?
Brown belt.
Brown belt. So how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it off and on in different arts and styles since I was around 10 or 12 years old. The last few years, I haven't been able to keep up on it as much as I'd like to, which is why I don't have my black belt yet.
Yeah.
Only because I have to work so much.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when you have a full-time job.
Yeah, yeah. Make time for your life, you know.
Mm. That's why I tell my son, do it now while you don't have all these other responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, get it done now.
Get it done now.
So is it a nice, close set on Port Charles? I know that obviously when you have that kind of soap thing, you have all these things going on screen, but you and Julie and Lynn and everybody, y'all get along together real well?
Yeah, it's a great set. We laugh a lot. We get along very well. We spend a lot of time together, so I don't know how much of it is genuine or people just going out of their way to be friendly, but I think we have a great set, and the people I work with, from all the actors to the crew to the production team, we just seem to be a lot of hardworking people who enjoy our jobs, and it's evident. So all I can say is we have a great time, and everyone should be jealous that we do it.
We're talking with John Lindstrom, who plays Dr. Kevin Collins on Port Charles on ABC every day at 12:30 here on Channel 5, Channel 9, wherever you are. Just check out ABC. And it sounds like a lot of fun. And on the soap opera, you never know what's going to happen because you don't know what's going to happen with your character. What's the strangest thing or the wildest thing that's happened to your character so far?
Probably seeing visions of himself.
Mm.
I think. I played twins, and one of the twins is now dead. He was a bad twin. And whenever the character of Kevin has a social or moral or ethical conflict he's trying to deal with, he often ends up dreaming about his brother and talking to him in a mirror.
Yeah.
I find that fun. And the other one was probably the psychic phenomena storyline, where we protected each other with thoughts from our head.
Well, you never know. We're gonna stay tuned to find out what's going on with you and Dr. Eve, and also with Lucy and everybody else around the cast. But I guess one other question, because I've had a lot of soap opera people on this show who said to me at the time that they were training, really, in soap operas for other things, and three of the people I've interviewed now starring on prime time. And I'm wondering if that is one of the objectives you have, or you're very, very happy and like to just stay in daytime.
I would assume the three people that said that were very young.
They were, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's the common refrain of a 21-year-old.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It actually kind of angers me when I hear someone say, I'm only here for the training, because it makes what daytime dramas are to be a less than professional forum. The people I work with and have always worked with in whatever show work as hard as and as professionally and as have as much dedication and discipline, if not more, than anybody I've worked with in films or primetime television. Man, I've done it all. People look at often young actors who are fortunate enough to get on a show early in their career, do often look at it as a stepping stone, which is only natural. That just means they have ambition. I'm very happy and content where I am right now, but then, you know, I'm over 40 and I've had my share of unemployment, so
speaking
from experience, yeah, I say, you know, ask them in 10 years and you know, we'll see where they are then.
Yeah. Reality sometimes kicks in, huh?
Boy, I'll tell you, big time.
Well, John, I want to thank you, first of all, for being so patient with the technical
problems
we had. John Lindstrom from the Port Charles Show on ABC. Watch it every day at 12:30 on Channel 5 here in Boston, and, of course, anywhere else in the country listening on your ABC affiliate. Dr. Kevin Collins, John Lindstrom. Thanks so much for coming on.
You bet, Mark.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.